Welcome to the ASAP Weekly Rocket League podcast, a show hosted by LeZero, the man of a thousand rants, and Wabbit, the fan favorite. This show details the latest news in the Rocket League scene, esports results, and tips and tricks on how to get better at the game, while sometimes they'll just take a random topic and see where it takes them. Thank you all for listening, and enjoy.
Hello and welcome to the ASAP Weekly Rocket League podcast. Today, I'm your host, Messi. What? And today we're joined by Cursor and Elias. How you guys doing?
What's up?
How's it going? Doing pretty good. How about you?
It is going hopefully forward, not backward, maybe sideways, but diagonal forward. Yeah. We're trying out here. It's a struggle, but it's a struggle we all share. But we're not here to dilly-dally about that. We're here to talk about the one and only Rocket League.
Yes, sir.
So, I'm looking at the docket today. And we gotta talk. Well, there's not really much that happened this weekend since ROCS is gone for now. Kind of cringe. I won't lie to you. I'm sad about it. But we got some other stuff we can talk about, right?
True. Lots of things.
So, first topic of discussion, JNaps is the oldest player at this major.
That is true, actually, now that I think about
it. Kind of crazy to think of it.
Yeah, only player born in the 90s at the major.
Meh. 90s babies, let's go!
And I think I saw this this fun thing where it was like, JNaps and Mark by 8 are the only players at this major that were eligible to play in Season 1 of ROCS.
It's just kind of crazy.
Man. It's wild, man. All these players are so young. Oh, I'm young, but I don't want to talk about it. But, like, man. They just, they're them. But JNaps is 23, and he's showing these young, like, I say young guns, right? But he's only, like, 8 years older than the youngest one. So, not really, nah. But, yeah, JNaps is old. Really old. Like, he's got gray hairs. Coming out of all the orifices on his body. Like,
bro, what is your thing against old people? All right, we did this how many episodes ago, and it was you versus me and LeZero, and it did not end well for you.
Old people.
Yeah, we're awesome. Get over it.
Man. Age happens.
It do. It'll happen to you too. Just wait.
Nah. Real question.
But by the time that I'm old, everybody else is still older. So.
Maybe. But what's the real question? What was the real question?
Oh, the real question is, will his age stop him from just having success at the major? Because at the end of the day, that's what we all want to know, right?
I mean, he can win majors, but he can't win world championships, so I don't know.
I mean, this current NRG roster can't either, though.
Listen, bro. Listen. Listen, bro. They're on the bounce back. They're gonna make worlds somehow.
But they had to bring the 3-time in so he could become the 4-time.
Listen. But Garrett G deserved it. He was on the grind.
Shoulders naps.
You're bro. Just saying that because he's from Georgia and you're from Georgia. Yeah.
That wasn't on the same plane as him on the way back from Worlds. Nah. Which I was. It was funny. Like, I was literally just, I was sitting like waiting for them to call my zone. Then they're like, first class, hop aboard. And I just see Garrett and Shell in front of me. I'm like, oh.
Maybe I should have bought first class.
Maybe I should have just become the pilot.
Maybe you should have just made it into RLCS head, butt.
I don't want to hear it. No. I don't want to hear it. Garrett G is Captain America. 51 states in the United States, baby.
You've been rocking that player banner like all week, too. Oh my gosh. Speaking of week, how's your week in Rocket League been, Messi?
Goated. We've actually been doing good for the first time in a long time. Improvement is visible, and that's rare.
Like you're like we your team or we you?
Nah, the Wii U sucks.
Right? True.
But I don't know, man. I'm hitting shots that I've been practicing for so long now. They're actually like happening. Like I've been seeing like a bunch of freestylers for the longest time hit RC resets into musties immediately. And I don't wanna say I did it. But we did it. We hit one.
I was there. And it was nice. I seen it. It was pretty nice.
I saw that. Yeah, I saw that clip in the thing. That's pretty sick. So, how are games going for the new season? Are you rushing straight into ranked? Are you just playing some casual? Like, what's the plan? Is this 10 now?
Yeah.
How's season? What's the plan for season 10 for Messi?
To not care about anything and play more Genshin.
Oh, okay.
But obviously, Rocket League is still the main game, and because I love Rocket League so much, I'm trying to not burn myself out, which is why I'm introducing other games back in more frequently.
And that makes sense.
I just don't want to burn myself out. I've had a case of that before, where I just got too angry playing too much. And if I can help avoid that by throwing in other games that I thoroughly enjoy, then, yeah.
That's pretty sick. I get that. You think maybe the season you'll climb back up the Rumble leaderboards again? Because it's fun. It's more fun than normal game.
Honestly, I've been having less fun.
Really?
It's probably because I'm not playing with someone solid with me on my team like consistently anymore. But I just want to take it one step at a time, not rush it.
That's just fair.
Have fun with the game again.
Heck yeah.
Yep. But how was your week in Rocket League, Elias?
Mine's been interesting. The start of the season's definitely been on the rough side. I think in my first like 7 games of twos, I was down 1-6. So that's what you like to hear. But in terms of my week overall, it's been pretty good. I actually have, I've secured a job that's going to start in April, now because nice. I've been on the hunt for a little bit. So that's exciting.
Heck
and
yeah.
My parents are actually on vacation until the first week of April. So I am solo at the house and I've decided this is grind time.
Nice.
I've started off the new season playing quite a bit of ones. Like that's pretty much all I've played except for the horrible, horrible twos games that we don't talk about.
what twos games?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. They don't even exist. Over the 3 weeks, I've set myself up to actually get a couple coaching sessions and
nice.
We're going to do that, do some grinding and just kind of see like what we can do in 3 weeks. Cause I'm going to be starting a new job, going to be focusing on that, going to be moving to a different place. Super excited to have internet that is playable. Or nice. That where I don't have higher ping than West Coast players on my home server. It's fine.
True.
But yeah, I'm when I do get that move in, when I do start the new job, I definitely won't be playing as much. So I want to get it all out on the field now and that way, you know, I'd see what I can do. I guess that's kind of the plan. That's my week. That's my setup.
Nice.
How about you, Cursor?
It almost feels like daunting. Old friend of mine, friend of the community, name's Nick, used to be my doubles partner way, way back when he was avidly playing the game. I've kind of, sort of been like getting him back into it and like trying to like help him work on things and help him be a little more like confident in the pitch and like just kind of enjoy himself. And for a while we were kind of uptrending and having some fun. And, you know, we figured let's do the twos placements this week together, you know, as tradition used to be. Hey, they they were going great for maybe 5 or 6 games, and then they did not go so great. So
that's unfortunate.
But you know, we'll bounce back. We always bounce back. But it's just a lot of trying to narrow down what it is I'm focusing on, so I'm not so like widespread on what it is I'm trying to improve on, because that can actually be super detrimental to growth. I've like the two main things I really, really want to try and accomplish this season is air dribbling whilst air rolling. Like you see most super high ranked players do very, very casually. And I would also like to be able to hit flip resets consistently, because I can get the flip reset, but I can almost never place the shot or use it effectively, unfortunately. So I'd really like to do those two things, but we've just kind of taking it slow, playing some casual, kind of finding my vibe again, sort of figuring out where I need to be in threes, where I need to be in twos, working on positioning. Just enjoying myself, like not burning out on the game, just kind of going with things, you know, going with the flow and just seeing what happens. Because realistically, I'm in crunch time right now. I'm in the third year of my 4-year apprenticeship program. We're nearing the end of the year, so information's getting a little more dense. Lots more things like, you know, tests, quizzes, that kind of stuff. So I'm trying to stay focused on my studies, but play this, and I can't help but squeak out that the first Diablo 4 closed beta takes place this weekend, and then the open beta takes place next weekend, and that's a franchise I've been involved in since I was a wee lad in the 90s and at like 6 years old. So I'm kind of, my attention's kind of split right now. So I don't have any real expectations for growth in the next like month, but I think I can get myself at least back to like the 1500 range if I just kind of focus on fundamentals, basics, and just kind of enjoy myself, really. That's really very all nice. It is. I notice, like, if I expect too much or I try to do too much, like if I set my expectations really high, like even a small failure is like, oh, dude, I couldn't even do this. No. And like, then I just don't want to play. And I just feel burnt, you know?
Are you focused on any mode in particular at the moment?
I feel like it's a constant for threes, but... And I know I've talked with you about this at some lengths over the, I don't know, pretty much since we met, but I used to be a twos main before I became a threes main for a long time. And I was a ones main before that, even longer ago. And I don't know, something about twos is starting to jive with me again. Like maybe I've just been playing it enough casually where I'm just so subconsciously aware of rotations and people. It's like, it just feels fun again. So I'm actually enjoying playing twos. And I've been doing a bit of hoops. Hoops is actually a lot of fun. So Messi kind of opened the door for me from just hard grinding drop shot to you could play all the modes or just rumble, but you could play all the modes. So it's seriously, it's actually a lot of fun. Me and Nick have been playing it and grinding up pretty handily, I might add. So kind of enjoying myself there as well. But not too much else to report.
Very nice. Yeah, I know one thing I can talk about as to... I've done one coaching session of the three that I kind of set up for the for my 3-week period. And it's crazy how no matter how high you get, it always comes back to the basics. Like always. Three things that I've set up that I am working on right now are speed flips. That's not basics, but like speed flips into like kickoffs, essentially, which is basic. And like just having the right line on the kickoff, because that needs to be cleaned up. True. Double jump aerials, because at the end of the day, like that can always basically always be improved. Like the timing on getting that second jump. Mm-hmm. I spoke like there was a third one. Those are like two of the main things, the double jump aerials. And that's kind of interesting. Like, cause there's a point where you start to take that for granted. Like, oh yeah, I can do that. Like I do that every game. It's fine. But then you jump into a training pack, for example, like you've got the Musty Speed Flip training pack, which is really well known, or there's a couple training packs out there for double jump aerials as well, where like, right. unless you do a perfectly timed double jump aerial, the ball, you can't hit the ball.
Right.
And it just like opens up your eyes, like just opens it up to, wow, I'm actually not, I'm slacking on that a little bit, I guess.
Not as good as I thought I was.
That's a big, big unfortunate, so to say. So,
do you think, I don't know, I don't mean to interrupt, but like, do you think that's kind of like part of the, this is something I've come to call the GC condition, where you think you're good at things because you've finally made this huge milestone that used to be the milestone of milestones, and you don't really notice it until you start to push past it and go higher, where you're like, oh wow, I'm actually not that great at it. I need to get better at it if I'm going to continue to push further.
Yeah, I think that definitely is a point where there's like a bare minimum that you need just to get GC, and then you realize that there's more to that.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised to find out that there's that same idea for at even higher levels. Like, Mezzi, can you speak to that in terms of SSL? Do you have you had any kind of, I guess you could call it an SSL condition? Messi?
Did we lose Messi?
We might have lost Messi.
Oh, geez.
He heard about the GC condition, and he's like, I'm too good for that. I can't be here.
he's like, my condition is I'm too good to talk to GCs. All right. Y'all are just bad. Let me know when you hit SSL. Okay, thanks.
That's unfortunate. But yeah, it goes, I don't know if I've heard you, if you guys have talked about it on the podcast yet, but there was, it came out a couple weeks ago. Monkey Moon just like shattered the MMR record.
Yeah, it was like 2610 or something, right?
Yeah, it was in the 2600s. Yeah. And I might have heard something about LJ getting slightly higher after it, but I'm not sure if I can't speak to. Okay, so that is a thing.
Yep.
But it is just crazy to think that like 2600 puts Monkey Moon at an MMR where he is as far from GC1s as GC1s are from bronze or something. Like, it's something as absurd as that.
Yeah, it is actually wild.
And, like, at the end of the day, like, a rank is a rank, but the MMR is still a number that's going to go up and, like, based on the matchmaking rating, is going to fit a bell curve or a normal curve. Based on how they've set up the ranks, like, you, the higher MMR you go, the less people are going to have it. It's just the way it works with that system. So it's just crazy to think that even get it, like, when you hit SSL in the top fraction of a percent of the player base, like 0.1%, I'm not even sure what the percentage is now.
Yeah.
When you hit that, you are still as far from the highest rank, as far from the peak rank reached as you are from, at that point, it's probably like plat.
Probably, yeah.
But it's just such a crazy difference.
Yeah, seriously.
Unfortunate that we don't have Messi to comment on.
Seriously. Oh, yeah. Apparently he's troubleshooting. He's having mic issues.
That's unfortunate.
Oh no! But
is the worst.
Oh,
is he there? Back? He is.
We're alive.
Oh, he's back.
Oh, he's back.
We have
returned. It's okay, Messi. We stopped talking about GCs. You can come back.
It's okay.
All right, I've returned. But yeah, I going back to that. I definitely do feel it because when I compare myself to like everybody below SSL, I'm like, yeah, I'm good at this game, you know, top 0.1, and then I end up queuing into the top 0.001, and I'm like, oh, like I see the blue tag on the other side, and I'm like, oh,
yeah.
See, but when it's just one, it's very beatable. If it's two or three, I start singing my holy prayers. At that point, I'm like, please, have mercy.
I have a family and a dog.
But when they're on my team, oh, I put on that song that Jorby puts on whenever Furious scores a goal. Bam, 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 bam. So you start celebrating. You're like, yeah, yeah.
And then you end up in a video where Reddles and Lethemir are talking to, singing your praises.
Yeah,
basically, yeah. Comes full circle.
Yeah, yeah. That was a thing that happened.
That was a thing that happened.
I almost forgot about that.
That did happen, right?
That did happen.
That actually brings up something that could be fun to talk about. This is a conversation that kind of came up a lot around the time that they actually added SSL as a rank, but it just recently I've seen it around on Twitter again. People talking about, or just commenting that Psyonix should add some kind of rank, essentially just like a placeholder, like top 100 rank. That would be essentially above SSL, but it would be limited to that top 100. So you wouldn't end up with, well, you could have huge MMR gaps similar to, I mean, like we've seen happen. Right. You don't lose the feel, you wouldn't have any risk of losing the feeling of prestige because at the end of the day, it's got, there's a limited number of that rank to go around.
True.
What are you guys' thoughts on that? Like, have you guys heard much talk?
I'm so down for that. You don't know how down I am for that.
Honestly, I think it gives more incentive for players like Messi to continue grinding at what feels like they're constantly just running into a wall. Like, and I personally also agree with it, being a guy who supports like competitive play and a healthy ecosystem for like competition within a game, where like we should have things like that to strive for. You know, maybe you earn a specialty title every season like we already have now, that's like, you know, maybe it's animated and it's like rainbow colored or something, like something cool, right? That just makes you stand out. Like, hey, I did this really, really super hard to do thing, and like I'm flaunting it because, you know, I earned it. And like, there's really nothing wrong with that. Like, it's kind of cool to see other games do it. Like, I believe Overwatch does it. They have like a Grandmaster rank, if I'm not mistaken. But if you don't play within like a week, right, like other players who are in the master division below could promote up into and knock you out, so to speak. So it's like people are constantly like vying for position, essentially.
Yeah, I feel like that would just make it so that ranked is more alive at the higher level. Because me personally, once I get SSL and I get my rewards, I stop playing. I'm like, we're good. We don't gotta go any farther. There's no point. Besides just getting like a nice little screenshot for Twitter or something. But having that extra incentive would also make it so that the rest of the player base like actually has something to play for, and they'll play until the very last day of the season with intent to go higher and higher.
I think that makes sense, because it does, like as you guys are saying, like it just adds that extra thing to grind for. It's also because it would be something that would, I guess, be finalized on the, like, right at the end of the season. You can't just get it and be complacent. You have to maintain it. I want to say the challenger system in League of Legends works in that kind of way. They've got
limited.
It might be 50, top one. Right? It might. Is it? Yeah, it might be something like that. It's a very small fraction of the player base, and that is like, it's got aggressive MMR decay. Like if you don't play, you have to be playing very regularly, or else you just lose your rank altogether. And yeah, I feel like that just would add a lot to Rocket League. Psyonix, if you're listening, you know, you've heard it from the pros. You've heard it from the ASAP podcast. Basically, same level of notoriety. That's two pillars of the Rocket League community, if I do say so myself. And you know what to do in season 11.
Well, maybe also finally release something on Unreal 5, maybe, and maybe you know, even if it's a teaser, anything on current progress. Maybe we're screaming for it. But also, I think if something like that were to be implemented, I feel that they need to take a much stronger stance on cheating, boosting, and win trading. I think it's not like they don't have the personnel or like the funds to do it. Like they could. I honestly believe they could. And, you know, who am I to speak on it? Like, as if I'm in their books counting their monies. But that was part of why a lot of us longtime loyalists of Rocket League were like, oh, this is going to be a great thing. There's going to be so much more behind Rocket League now. Like, they'll have so much more potential to do great things with their game, which they have. I mean, they've done a couple sad things. Like, first ever season I get GC, I get pretty wonk wheels that most of the community was not all too enthused about. Like, spikes on them and whatnot. But it's just... I would very much like to see them take a stronger stance, considering there are other competitive games that have close to no issue with this, because their monitoring is there and they're taking care of the issue. But you don't see it really being kind of like a thing with Rocket League too much, with the exception of alpha boost accounts and this, that, and the other thing. And, oh, we found out these freestylers were pooping on people after years of, like, proof. And we finally did something, 8 years later. it took them a while, but they got there. So I have hope, but I think that would need to be a thing if it were to be implemented. Otherwise, you'd have probably other people in the top 100 who, would accept monies to boost accounts for people so they could have an account with a title on it that's totally defeating the purpose of grinding for it yourself. And it just, it's still a thing that we have to combat in this current ecosystem for ranked. And it's just kind of, I'm kind of sad about it. I've been preaching it for years and I'll preach it again. We need a hard reset, enough soft resets. Let's make everybody actually grind back up and see where the pieces lay. Just saying. I don't know if you guys have anything to add on the potential for new things to be added to grind for in the game, or are we ready for the next iteration of Rocket League and looking forward to the things that are offered in the next game?
I think that puts a good bow on it from my end as far as things to grind on. I definitely agree on as far as the tangent for Unreal 5, like that would quite literally be Unreal. To hear more about, but I understand that it also is a big undertaking. So
it is.
It'd be nice if they could give like some kind of new like update or literally anything, but Psyonix has also never been all that good for that. So that's unfortunately just something that we might have to live with.
I mean, when the three of us met up at Worlds this year, I genuinely thought they were going to do like a after the, the award ceremony for the new world champion or something, like, oh, hey, stay tuned after the break for like a look at like Rocket League 2.0 or something like that. You had so many eyes watching your game and the competition at that time, both online and in person. It would have been peak time, but they completely missed that one. Completely missed it. So it's got me wondering now. It really does.
That makes sense. That also, I guess, comes up on the, on the topic of, I guess it's more of an esports talk, but this is a off the, like outside of RLCS in particular. Did you guys see the announcement that Gamers 8 is going to have a $45 million prize pool this year?
I think that's across all the games.
Yeah. But it's like three times what it was last year.
That's
absolutely insane.
That's like Counter Strike. Or like Dota levels of payout. Like that's huge.
Yeah.
Like the two highest paying esports, T-Roll and esports in the world. Like that's massive. And granted, that's, I mean, either one of those tier one esports would pay it out for one tourney, but still like that's, I don't know, man. I'm wondering where this money's coming from, honestly.
Yeah, definitely questionable, but it'll be interesting to see, how that comes out. I guess it'll, how that tournament goes.
Man. It's obviously unfortunate that the
controversy around it.
True.
Man, it's just unfortunate that RLCS will probably not allow them to have a bigger prize pool for the Rocket League portion than Worlds, more likely than not.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's right.
Is Worlds still 2 million this year, or did it go up?
What happened?
Cursor, what was that?
No, I was just I was wondering if that fell under the clause when they kind of opened the floodgates. What was it, a year, 2 years ago now almost? When they opened the floodgates and they're like, okay, outlying regions can now compete. And they were like, oh, also you can host tournaments up to 50K. I think it falls under that clause to cover their own end so that they don't have like another organization profiting off of their esport more than they can. I'm not entirely sure how it works, to be honest with you, but
Messi, do you want to talk on it?
I mean, what was their prize pool for the Rocket League one last year? 1.5 mil?
I think it was
2 higher. Mil. Or it was pretty much 2 mil, but it was like barely below what Worlds was. And I do remember mention of that being a rule that Psyonix wasn't allowing any prize pools larger than the RLCS one. So
I'm like really hoping that they'll make an exception again and have it just underneath Worlds again. And I'm hoping they invite OCE this time. I'm hoping. Because they had SSA representing, but not OCE. Actually, no, they did have OCE. I'm tripped. If I recall, I believe Renegades were there. But
yeah.
I'd love to see more teams from the smaller regions be there, and not just the bigger teams as we know them.
Right.
Have like a qualifier system for like the lower ranked teams in all the smaller regions.
Right.
Like they did before, like having all mid make it. And of course they're going to invite a handful of MENA teams, or maybe two handfuls like they did before, but
probably.
Which is not a surprise.
MENA players are great and their Fennec design is fantastic. Feels super fast. Have been using it.
Fantastic.
It is fantastic. That is cool. Speedy.
Yeah. Got to be quick with it.
And I guess speaking on I guess I'm kind of taking the reins on them.
Go for it.
Is it okay if I bring up another topic?
By all means.
On the topic of Speedy Fenix, have you guys been following much of what's going on in the one scene lately?
Are you referring to the
Oh, absolute... I'm referring to the Speedy Fenix. There's one in particular that probably comes to mind.
The absolute Zenstrosity that's been happening in the one scene.
Yeah. They might as well call it the Zenic absurd at this point.
Yeah, or the Zenpocalypse. It's kind of absurd, man. He's just that good.
Nah, I'm going to call it the Renick. Ruash did the thing that nobody thought someone could do.
It's a good point. Do you want to expand on that a little, Messi?
Ruash is just him. Like,
it really is.
Like, the twins are just, like, I don't know if you guys watched Sunless's video a couple days ago.
The new one on the twins is really good.
On the twins?
Yeah.
They 2v3 in, like, decently high-level SSLs. Like, huh? Bruh.
Crazy. Yeah.
It's ridiculous what they're doing. Like, if they get fired. And I feel like with their new third that they've acquired for the split, who believe is M7SN. I don't know how to pronounce Mawson. It.
It's Mawson.
Mawson, like, that's a player that has a Worlds experience right there. A lot of people forget that, but he was at Worlds. So having a player of that caliber on your team, being like two people new to the scene, like, that'll help you a lot. And honestly, like, they're on course to make Worlds right now. They keep up their pace, like, they'll be guaranteed second, or hey, they might even take the first seed right under Falcons' nose.
It'd take a lot for them to take first, I think. Like, mathematically speaking, wouldn't that have
to? Yeah, it would take a lot, but...
Yeah.
I believe they're basically guaranteed the second seed as long as they can maintain pace. So...
Yeah.
Hoping. We are hoping.
As far as the Zenstrosity goes, just for any context, anyone who might have missed or might not follow the one scene, we've got essentially Zen, who is a 16-year-old player who from France that was banned from RLCS for a year for actually qualifying when underage. His ban has now been removed, and he has actually been on Vitality for a while. I know we've mentioned that before, but just giving a full story. over the last a month and a half, maybe, he's broken onto the ones, like into the one scene, playing show matches on Johnny Boy's channel, playing show matches on Fear's channel, pretty much just coming in and taking on the best of the best 1v1 players across the board. I think his first couple show matches included Moxie, apparently Jack,
Jorius.
Yeah, Jorius. So those are players who go, like, when you think of 1v1, like, those are players that come to mind as just 1v1 gods. Mm-hmm. And he took down all of them, like, and made it look easy. Just clipping on them, insane. I think he 4-0'd Jack, just like playing at a different level. Yeah. He then continued to play a bunch of other players. At this point, he went on to an 11-game win streak. Mm-hmm. And I can't list out all the players, but in addition to the ones that have been mentioned so far, there was Daniel, there was Yan, there was
the Yan match was really good.
Daniel, Yan, AJ, Vatira. Actually, Vatira was after.
That was a close match too.
That one was a really close match. And with all of these, he looked very confident and like took them handily. The only players, all of this through, Rawas, the brother from Mina, is the one player who has taken down Zen. He did that in a game 7.
Yep.
And it was a crazy close series. Really good to watch. If anyone here, like, whether you're a Ones fan or not, I would encourage you heavily to watch Zen's matches with Daniel, Ruas, and Vatira. They're all like nail biter games that are just incredible to watch and put like just show the raw speed that Zen has coming into the game, and he is a menace. Also just being some of the highest level 1v1 that has probably ever been played
so far.
Yeah.
Because I feel like every time we talk about the one scene each year, it just gets better and better and better and better every time.
The scariest thing is, I don't think he's even at his peak yet.
That's the scary thing.
Right? That's the scary thing. He's just sort of like actively playing ones, and he's this good. Like,
it's kind of mind-boggling, honestly.
Once May rolls around and he's playing for Vitality, watch out.
Seriously.
This just goes to say, like, I really think Psyonix needs to bring in some kind of 1v1 circuit or like some kind of 1v1 LAN.
Because I wholeheartedly
agree. It is so fun to watch. And it, like, if you think about it, it would, I don't know, like, some people would argue that, I know Lawler has this opinion where you cannot, Psyonix should not sponsor game modes other than 3v3 because they would essentially divert their market and like be taking money away from the 3v3, which is their primary game mode. But 1v1 is just so different and so refreshing to watch, as well as like organizing a ones LAN would be a lot easier. You don't have coaches. You have only one player per like tournament spot, as opposed to three with a coach and a sets of parents. And like, it seems like the organization would also be easier. And honestly, the numbers I think would still be crazy for viewership. Johnny Boy for the Rawas Zen show match had, I want to say, 14,000 viewers live. Yeah. Which is just for one little ones match, well, big little ones match, on a side stream. Like, if you extrapolate that to what you could get over the entire Rocket League, just the entire Rocket League channel, like, and viewer player base, it just seems like there's got to be a market there.
I think so. I mean, even though a good chunk of people left, there were still, like, do you remember when we all sat down and watched the live 1v1s at the World Championship this past year?
No, I forgot about it. You want to tell me a little bit about it?
Oh, my God. They had it was so good. It was so, so good. They had Joryu's, Appjack. What's his name? I got to pull it up now. Where is it?
Matches were KV1 versus Appjack, Daniel versus Joryu's, and Yon versus TRK.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
And yeah. Those are all best of ones, but those matches were so good.
Yes, thank you. And, I found just as much enjoyment sitting there in the same seat that I was watching 3v3 World Championship level Rocket League being played as watching these absolute god-tier 1v1 players play, just competing, just having fun. And I don't know why it hasn't been done yet. I think it was a tweet I saw put out maybe by Appjack, who's like, we need, you know, a 1v1, a 2v2 circuit. Like, it should just happen. There's there's so many other fantastic players out there who don't compete in the traditional 3v3 that are actually just amazing at the game, and it is absolutely a treat to watch, and they could totally capitalize off it. And it would also potentially open up other avenues for them. That's how I see it. Like, think about it, man. If this is probably a bad way to put it, but like, let's say BDS makes it to Worlds, right? But they choke. But then Monkey Moon goes in and plays like the finals for the 2v2, and it's a completely different game. It's a completely different game, because I would argue that, well, it's a bit of a stretch, but I would argue that maybe he's more comfortable in twos than he is in threes. I'm gonna just put it out there, but because that is some crazy MMR that he broke, absolutely unreal, crazy MMR, like legit MMR, not these weird win trade and bot people who broke 3K. That might as well not have happened, but. Who was it? Who did it last time? What was it? Cypical, who did like 2,400 like 2-3 years ago? It was something wild like that. Like it was broken, but it was a while ago, and it was, I think, I want to say it was like 2,400 at the time, and before that, the big jump was someone breaking 2,200, I think. So it's progressively getting higher and higher and higher as time goes on, which means these players are getting far more efficient and far more skilled in that particular area. So it's like threes doesn't even come close. I think what's the highest on the threes leaderboard right now? What is it like 22, 23, maybe?
Probably yeah, usually lower. End of season. Yeah. It's like 23 at the highest.
Like, I don't know if there's a direct correlation there. Like are players just playing better in twos? You know what I mean? Cause like Rocket League doesn't have that appropriate representation of your skill. It's just a number and a rank, which we assume is your skill level. But when we look at old GC or we look at SSL now, just because, you know, Messi hits and Cruncho hits 1900, so does Monkey Moon, but they're still vastly like different from Monkey Moon, who's the same rank, right? It's like where do we draw that line of delineation? Like if we're still trying to put value to the number and the rank attached to the name, like where's that cutoff point before we start kind of questioning like should we add something else? Kind of like tying back to what we were saying earlier, should we add like a top 100 to go for? Should we add like a, you know, like a first, second, and third specialty reward for the grinders on the leaderboard for making it up there? Because like it's just that hard to do. Like the people who get there are just absolutely unreal, and maybe they're just on a hot streak. But I will leave my rant at that, because I've thought about something like that for a while, and I still don't have an answer to this question. Like, just how good are these players in other modes where they feel more comfortable? Because it's showing. I really don't know. I don't.
I think it's hard to say with it, but without any kind of competition, you can't really, it's hard to judge. as far as like Monkey Moon goes in particular, like his twos ratings were crazy, but also like even with them like performing abysmally this split and not making it to the major, he still, every time they showed the like top performers of the land or of the regional weekend, he was always right up at the top, even though their team played like four games total. Right. So I think there's something to be said that he is just a crazy player, and whatever's happening with BDS, I'm sure it won't go for too long.
True.
I also think it's worth mentioning, like you glossed over it quickly. I assume like this episode isn't the episode we're talking about the major so much because we still got a couple weeks for that, right? I'm assuming.
True.
Yeah. Gotta leave that for the run up. Even if you want to hear other thoughts about the major, feel free to listen to last week's episode. No comment. True. It is worth mentioning, like, BDS is in a bad spot to even make it to Worlds. Like you said, if they make it to Worlds, like right now, they are not poised to have much opening for that. Yeah. I think they, like, even right now, they need to pretty much win the entire spring split. It's kind of crazy to think that the World Championship, like, this big World Championship, World Champions falling. Oh, my. Words are hard, my bad.
Yeah, the lowest team in EU right now that's technically qualified for Worlds as standings or currently
could qualify, are. You mean?
No, like, well, technically because of the World Region spots right now, 1 through 7 for Europe are in as it stands So BDS need to hope that the World's Region spots remain the same or have some freak occurrence happen where somehow EU number 5 finds their way up there along with the other four, which is highly unlikely. So BDS need to outperform German Amigos and outperform G1 and probably outperform Vitality if they even want a shot.
Vitality is going to have a special shark. A special little
special
shark.
I didn't know what I was going to say
before I started saying it.
I love it.
Yeah, this is their special shark. Not a special weapon. Not a secret weapon. He's a special shark.
Heck yes.
Patent pending.
Yes. Yeah. So BDS gotta get on it.
Right.
Well, I think we could at least go this far out to say it because maybe it changes. But in no particular order, who are the four people you see making it up into Sunday for the upcoming LAN?
The 14. Messi, would you like to go first?
All right, let's take a look at the teams. What do we got? All right, I'm just going to go with my heart and my head combined into one. We're going to get that heart head, you know what I'm saying?
We're
going to combine it. Top four is going to be Team Liquid.
Oh, my.
FaZe Clan.
Oh.
Team Secret. And Ground Zero.
Really?
That'll be my top four.
Okay. I could see you really holding out for Secret to turn it around and just kind of show everyone up, aren't you?
They got top four at last major. I'm just saying. They were consistent this split too. I'm just saying.
I see the Liquid pick. I understand the Liquid pick. And I do understand the face. Although it seems a little bandwagon-y. Because you were definitely not on that when Gen G was rolling through earlier this season. But you were right there with the rest of us waving the fourth clan meme poster for sure. But
yeah, they're going to get fourth again.
Oh my gosh!
Oh, don't you worry about it.
Oh my gosh, bro! But how about you, Elias? What are your thoughts?
It's hard to say on this one in particular. Like, I think I'd have to lean towards. I think I just got to sleep on pretty much all the non-NAEU regions. And like I'd say Gen G, K-Corp, I I can't not say FaZe at this point, right? I'd see FaZe in fourth though. Okay. And I just don't know if I see it from looking at the other regions. Oxygen would be interesting, but Ryze is still going to be. Ryze is still recovering from his injury.
He had an injury.
Broke his wrist. He was playing soccer with a buddy. They were doing like penalty shootouts, and when he was in net, his buddy blasted the ball, and I mean, he got the save, but at what cost?
He got the save.
So yeah, he actually Oxygen. When Oxygen played the last regional, Ryze was actually playing in a sling. Sling and a cast.
I appreciate the dedication, but that kind of raises a red flag for me because, like,
well, he got medical confirmation.
He got medical. Yeah, he like ran it by his doctor, and the doctor is like, "What? Just show me what movements you're doing. Show me how it's going." Okay, that should be fine.
Yeah, according to the doctor, it was just a hairline fracture.
So, okay, I've had one of those. That's not too bad, but that still raises the concern that, like, dude, you make a living off your hands, and you're gonna go put them at risk for the save? All right, I guess I gotta respect
the save.
He got the save. I gotta respect it. I have to.
Yeah,
but that's crazy. I didn't know that actually.
Yeah, and then I'm just gonna. Know what? I'm going to put Vitality in there because I need to do it for the drama of watching if they win and then they have to kick out someone for Zen. I'm going to put Vitality winning the major for drama factor. I'm actually going to take out FaZe because I don't like FaZe. I'm going to put G2 instead because G2. Gen G and Carmine would be the other ones.
Totally doesn't have to do with you getting free G2 swag at Worlds.
Nope. They totally didn't buy my vote. G2 is in there now.
With a sweet, sweet jersey.
Very, very sweet, very free jersey. I mean, it's far enough away. I can talk about that now.
It is. We're good.
Then it happened. The guy was like, "Don't tell anyone how you got this."
Well, you're not saying who it was or where.
Nope.
Well, it's just, nope. You know, you whilst we traveled abroad to go to Worlds, you copped this free G2 jersey and it was pretty sweet.
Exactly. Lips are sealed. Nothing comes out of me.
Yep.
That's all I know here.
Yep. We keep our word at ASAP.
How about you, Cursor? What's your lineup?
Oh, that's tough. I'm going to go for the upset here. I'm going to say that I see a reawakened Falcons absolutely dominating and completely just destroying K-Corp, just destroying them and Vitality. You know, I do. I see it happening. It's been too long. The comeback is afoot. I see, I see G2 going through, and honestly, my heart wants Ground Zero to be there on Sunday, and my heart wants Oxygen to be there on Sunday, because I think it would make for some really, really good games. I think I would love to see. Heck, if we're going the two semifinals into the finals, I want to see Liquid versus Falcons and Oxygen versus G2 to determine who's going to play the grand final. That's going to be my go. I want to see that. I think that would be some top-notch gameplay right there.
Yeah. Something I want to bring up is everybody's talking about G1 Atomic versus G2 Atomic.
I'm so over it.
But can we talk about how Pioneers... It's so unfortunate to be in a group where every team in that group could literally be a top two team in their region on any given day.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, Pioneers. You are not making it out of that group. You are not. You're
unfortunate.
It's just not going to happen.
I mean, realistically speaking, if if Group D just gets in the Pioneers' heads, I mean, their ace up their sleeve is gone because they don't got Prof no more. So he can't exactly. Just, you know, pour the mental concrete in and lock them in, you know? So I don't know, man. I'm with you on
they
that.
Got the,
it could be a hard sell to have the Pioneers get out.
Are we getting in the groups today? Is that happening, or are we saving that for the next one?
No, we're going to save that.
Yeah.
Okay. We're just dipping our toes in the water.
Yep.
Talking a little groupsy.
Just seeing where your heads are at for the finals, because it could very well change based upon what's starting to happen in groups here. So, but yeah, there's going to be plenty of groups discussion when the groups start taking off.
Yeah, that sounds good.
But
okay.
But do you have anything to add, Messi?
No, not in particular. Just excited for this major to roll around and have casters really confused when they're casting Group A.
It's going to be phenomenal.
Actually, hold up. I don't know if you see this, but if we go down to the playoffs, if we have either G1 or G2 play second or third, and then Team Liquid plays either second or third, there's a chance we could get a Chronic versus Atomic, which would confuse the casters as well.
I mean, at the end of the day, I think the one matchup that everyone wants is the Pony Battle, and everyone knows Pioneers versus Liquid would just be the most interesting match. Because you need horse versus horse. We don't have to say anything more about that.
All right, I'm done with it. I can see it.
Yep.
You've heard of the
Elf on a Shelf?
You've heard of a horse on a horse?
Wait, we're horse against horse, Messi. This isn't the Discovery Channel.
Oh my god.
But I think you're missing something, Messi. I think it's currently staring at you in the Zencaster chat.
Is it people in particular with money?
Wait, what are those called again? Fans? Loyal fans?
Fans that decide to pay an arbitrary sum of currency to enjoy further amount of video content, music, Patreon.
Is there video and music content that I've not been aware of?
That's what I'm saying.
Oh my goodness.
Are Rebel Kyle putting out other stuff right now?
All right. Gotta think of Patreons. Unfortunately, I did not.
Unfortunately?
Unfortunately, I did not. How
are you going to follow that up with an unfortunately and then a pause, my guy? I'm sorry. I got to stop.
All right, let's take our Patreons. Zodiac22, Two Witch Space, Chaos Maker, Space Bear, Frank, Awesomeness, Caleb, Raz, Digital Toast, Paint, Aruk, Boy Hunty, and Young Slug.
Shout out to the old champ.
Thank you guys for giving us money. I appreciate it. All right. But I think with that, we're going to wrap up today's show. Anything else we want to chime in about?
Oh, by all means, please flood the questions channel or the esports channel in our Discord with your thoughts on the upcoming LAN. We'd love to talk about it with you and or during the event and or after the event, or just come join us and hang out because we're awesome. And there's lots of other awesome people here who want to carball and talk stuff with you.
Yeah, I would really appreciate if you guys did that. And if you have a chance, DM me a picture of a grilled cheese sandwich for no particular reason. But anyway, we're signing off. And you guys have a lovely evening, morning, afternoon, dawn, eve, or wherever you are, however you feel. And y'all have a nice one. Bye-bye.
Adios. Later.
Save big money at Menards. Gorilla tapes, glues, and adhesives are perfect for jobs around the house, indoors and out. Gorilla Heavy Duty Construction Adhesive has a 100% waterproof formula that provides a secure bond on any surface. From trim work to landscape block to hanging mirrors, it's all-purpose and holds in 30 seconds. Pick it up for your project and head to Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now. Save.